Today on Real Life Radio.
They said, you watch me, and if it doesn't hurt, I'm going to lift my hands, or I'm going to sing songs of praise, or I'll be praying to the Lord. So you watch me. When they apprehend me, when they take me to the stake, when they burn me alive, watch me, and I'm going to let you know how it goes. What a witness.
Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David J., thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called Faith on Fire, begins in the book of Philippians chapter 2, verses 14 through 18. God wants us to be on fire for Him, to have a kind of faith that cannot be hidden, and a kind of surrender that makes us real Christians. We don't need to panic as the world gets darker. It is an opportunity for us to burn as a light to a fallen and lost generation. And you know, there really is a great need today for the church to be ablaze, if you will, to catch the passion of God's Word and let it purify our souls. For when we hold fast to the Word of life, it creates within us a desire to serve Him with all of our hearts. And then, just like the Apostle Paul, we can rejoice, knowing that we are not laboring in vain. Today on day one of this lesson, Pastor Jack tells us that when we complain and have disputes against one another, it only makes our hearts bitter. Instead, we're to be enveloped by the presence of God, recognizing that He is in charge and He knows what He's doing. And now, here's pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs.
Philippians chapter 2, it's been a while since we've been in this book. We've been in Israel, but Philippians chapter 2, technically we'll be in verses 14 to 18 today. Don't know how far we'll get, but it's been a while. But Philippians chapter 2, turn there now, and we're looking at a message entitled Faith on Fire. We'll be looking at part one of this, Faith on Fire. And just by context for everything, church, look at Philippians 2, verse 1. Therefore, if there is any consolation or comfort in Christ, and there is, if any comfort of love, that's for sure, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy, says the Apostle Paul, by being like-minded, having the same love and being of one accord and of one mind. Verse 3, let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. There's the cure, by the way, for much of our societal ills. Love other people. Lift them up instead of yourself. Let each of you look out not only for your own interest, but also for the interest of others. Verse 5, let this mind, the one that he just described, be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery or something to be grasped, that is to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. That's an awesome statement. It means that Jesus Christ came and he took upon himself humanity. That is a screaming declaration of the deity of Christ. He became a man by choice. And being found in the appearance as a human, as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Verse 9, therefore God has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and those on earth and those under the earth, the spirit realm, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, Paul said, work out your own salvation. That is, let it come out of you. Let God bring your salvation out of you with fear and trembling. Be very serious about that commitment. For it is God who works in you, inside of you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Now, here's our study for today, verse 14. Do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless, children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast the word of life, so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ that I have not run in vain or labored in vain. Yes, and if I'm being poured out as a drink offering on the sacrifice and service of your faith, I'm glad and rejoice with you all. For the same reason, verse 18 says, you also be glad and rejoice with me. What a statement. Faith on fire is the title of our message today. What happens when a Christian burns? Burns with the light and the love and the word of God. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22, he says, since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth of the Spirit, through the Spirit, in sincere love of the brethren. The word love right here is fervent love, hot love. Love one another fervently with a pure heart. Verse 23, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, through the word of God, which lives and abides forever. The word of God at work in the life of a believer causes us to be born again. And that born again life is a life that the word goes into us, there's an explosion of light. And the light of God has to accompany also the love of God. And there's a fervency, there's a fire. And when we as believers live a life of faith, there is a fire that is distributed among us. Now, I don't know what you think about the title, Faith on Fire, and what happens when a Christian burns. And I wrote that title down, and then as I was typing along, and it began to dawn on me, wait a minute. I remember something, for example, like Fox's Book of Martyrs. Have you ever read that book? By the way, it's one of the most read Christian books of all time. Fox's Book of Martyrs. You should read it. You should get it. Well, in that book, and I'll show you a couple of slides, what do you think when you hear about the Christian being on fire? Fox's Book of Martyrs covers a period of time when the European Catholic Church burned tens of thousands of Protestant Christians. These Protestant Christians believed that everybody should have access to the Bible. They believed everybody should be able to possess the Bible on their own, that everybody should be able to read the Bible for themselves. What a concept. Boy, you and I take that for granted today, don't we? Back in those days, only a select group of priests could have the Bible. You could not have the Bible. They would tell you what the Bible said. You couldn't know for yourself. In Fox's Book of Martyrs, he records eyewitness accounts of people being burned alive for their faith in Jesus Christ. Next slide. These are some of the artists' renderings of the day. Now, this is very specific because in Fox's Book of Martyrs, one of the patriarchs, you see the one man that's being depicted on the right with his hands lifted up? Do you see the other man on the left with his, looks like he's praying? Do you know what? That's not by accident, everybody. What these gentlemen said to their flocks, they said, listen, here's the deal. If it doesn't hurt, if I'm in control of my capacities, while burning, you watch me. They're going to burn. They burnt the pastors first. So they said, you watch me. Man, this is faith, isn't it? They said, you watch me, and if it doesn't hurt, I'm going to lift my hands, or I'm going to sing songs of praise, or I'll be praying to the Lord. So you watch me. When they apprehend me, when they take me to the stake, when they burn me alive, watch me, and I'm going to let you know how it goes. What a witness. And these drawings, and you can read the book, where people watched flocks of families of God, churches, saw their pastors to be the first ones to the stake. And as the flames began to engulf them, they lifted their hands and they sang praises to God as they were consumed in the flames. And the flock was encouraged to stand firm, to hold on, to be steadfast, as they also went to the moment of their martyrdom. But it's happening again. Next slide. It's happening again. Christian couple burned alive in Pakistan by Muslim mob. That's just one news report. I could have bored you today with Christians being burned alive in the Middle East for their faith. It's happening again. But it doesn't have to take physical flames for us to burn. It is the Holy Spirit's desire that you and I as Christians be so alive to God that we affect the world in which we live in because we are on fire for God. Our faith is on fire for God. We've often said, now I don't know if it's still said today, but when I was a young Christian, this is the kind of terminology. We went and heard this message or we saw this evangelist or we whatever, and he was on fire. Have you ever heard that before? He was on fire. What does that mean? Fire. He was on fire. Well, you want to hope that it means that they were biblical, they were anointed, God was upon them, and the word was coming alive. Very powerful thing. There's a great need today in the church to be alive, to be ablaze against the darkness of this age. You don't have to be asked by me again if you think the world is dark. It seems like it's getting darker every day. Don't panic about that. It's an opportunity for us to be a light to the world. But listen, it's very important, church, that you and I as Christians, that we live our lives. Listen, I'm going to intentionally step on some toes. I'm desiring to do that this morning. I'm warning you. I wore my boots this morning to step on some toes. The church today is struggling to try to be relevant to the world around them. And instead of adopting the fire that is upon the altar of God to burn in front of a lost and darkened world, the church is acquiescing and becoming just like the world. And the world looks at the so-called church and says, what's the difference? I can get drunk in church and I can get drunk at home, so why go to church? I can smoke at the nightclub. Why do I need to go and smoke at church? Young churches today think it's cool. I've talked to people who've their young kids have gone to churches and they were not drinking and smoking until they went to this new church that says you're free in Christ to smoke and drink. They've learned how to drink and smoke in the so-called church. This is insane. We need to be alive. We need to be on fire by the Holy Spirit. That fire needs to come off the altar of God. There's a big difference. Dr. A.W. Tozer writes regarding this. He says, there is a hunger that must be recognized by our religious leaders. Current evangelicalism has laid the altar and divided the sacrifice into parts, but now seems satisfied, listen, to count the stones and to arrange the pieces with never a care that there is not a sign of fire upon lofty Carmel. But God, be thanked that there is a few who care. They are those who, while they love the altar and they delight in the sacrifice, are yet unable to reconcile themselves to the continued absence of fire. Do you know what he means by fire, right? The presence of God. They desire God above all. They are athirst to taste for themselves the piercing sweetness of the love of Christ, about whom all the holy prophets did write and the psalmist did sing. What a statement. Fire. We've arranged the church. We've built the altars. We've got the music. We've got the buildings. We've got the lighting. We've got everything going on, but there's no manifest presence of God. There's no fire burning. And if the fire of God burns, what's going to happen? Listen, I cannot say, nor can you. We cannot tell, because it's when God takes over. It's when God moves. It's when he takes his people who are consumed with the word of God, and they are not satisfied by any of the external things. They want him and they want him alone. God at work. Faith on fire means this, verses 14 and 15. What happens when a Christian burns? It's a faith that cannot be hidden. Will you write that down? When faith is on fire, it cannot be hidden. First, this way. Verse 14 teaches us, do all things, says Paul, without complaining and disputing. Why is that important? Well, let me put it to you this way. Faith that cannot be hidden, it needs to be prepared. And that is prepared by burning, or to be burned. You say, what do you mean by that? And listen, so I put down, so prepared to be burned. What do I mean by that? Not burned at the stake. Not burned like you're ripped off. Not burned like you are somehow offended. Oh, no, no, no. This is good. Christian, listen. And I'm speaking to those who are longing for more of the presence of God this morning. You desire to come into the presence of God and you say, Lord, whatever you have for me, do it. Whatever you want, do it. Lord, consume me. I am willingly bringing my life before you, Almighty God, and I'm asking you to do this thing. I'm asking you to make me a real Christian. I'm asking you, Lord God, to cause me to be the witness of verses 14 through 18 in our study. Imagine if just this service, forget about the other services. I won't say that at second or third, but just this service, if we caught God's passion for us to be burning with the love and the light of the gospel, this first service, there's enough people here right now to completely change the world. I am not kidding. If 12 people can change the world, then there's more than 12 people here today. God's not done. These are dark days. It's not over. Things seem to be crowding us in. It seems almost spiritually harder to breathe. Oh no, listen, Christian, back up and take a deep breath. Go into the flames, as it were, and say, Lord, burn me. Burn all that is necessary to get out of my life. Purge me, cleanse me, wash me afresh in your holy flame. Do all things without complaining and disputing. That's where we begin. Say, really? Oh yeah, listen, when you and I complain and dispute, we're manifesting an ungodly attitude when we complain. It's a spirit of unbelief. Did you know that you and I, when we gripe about things, we are actually displaying an insult to God? We are misrepresenting God when we complain. Now look, this is gonna burn me as much as it burns you, and vice versa. Listen, as humans, we are prone to complain. Well, why did he get the raise and I didn't? How come he got the bigger piece of pie? I wanted that piece. And we hear this stuff and we see this stuff. And listen, it's easy for us in our humanity to enter in to what Paul says is a scourge, and it's going to be preventing us from growing more in the Lord. And that is complaining. We've learned to justify complaints. We have a complaint department mentality now. Just file a complaint. Think of it. The other day, Lisa and I were on the phone and we're dealing with somebody in customer service. No, but listen, customer, and you know, well, you laugh because you normally know how it goes. This guy was so amazing and so helpful. I said, listen, give me a phone number, give me an email. I need to know who your boss is, because I'm going to tell your boss how amazing you've been for this last hour on the phone. I'm sure that guy was probably wondering if we were going to complain, or that's all to hear about is complaints. I was so impressed. But complaining does the exact opposite. It sucks life out of you. The word complaining here in the Bible is the word to grumble or to grudge. It means to murmur, to just grumble and murmur. It's the same word in the Greek that is used in the Hebrew word for the children of Israel when they came out of Egypt. Remember that? In the Exodus, they were grumbling and griping the whole time. Nothing that God did was good enough. He even brought manna down from heaven, and it formed on the ground for them to eat when they were hungry, and they grumbled about that. They griped about everything. For you and I to walk with God and to have the power of God, listen, we need to start on what we are thinking is so little of a sin, but it's a great sin according to God, and it's grumbling and griping and complaining because it announces that God doesn't know what he's doing. When we complain, we are suggesting that I could do a better job than what God can do when we complain. The Christian is not to complain. Well, Pastor, clearly you've not heard the proverb, the squeaky wheel gets the oil. Now look, I understand that when something is wrong, that needs to be brought out. There's a way to inform people of injustice or things like that. But to complain, there's a debilitating grind when it comes to complaining. And then look at the word dispute or disputing. It's disputing in the New King James Bible, but the word is the same in all translations. The Greek word means this, an unproductive discussion. You say, well, what's wrong with disputing or debate? Listen, this is not that kind of a debate. This is an unproductive discussion, an illogical debate. Illogical. It means it's going nowhere. It has no end. We get the English word dialogue from this word, but it doesn't mean what you think, because we like dialogue, right? This is in the negative. It means that this discussion is an internal, private, self-relating conversation with no one but yourself, and it's dangerous. Listen, you complain, and then on the inside, what that does, it starts a path of thinking that you begin to dispute what's going on around you. Christian, listen, we should never be complaining. Because as a Christian, we are to understand that God is on his throne. When you go to work tomorrow, as a Christian, you're going to be attacked and maligned and made fun of and marginalized, and somehow your life will be brought into greater scrutiny than other people. Why is that? Because you are a Christian. Tomorrow when you go to work, or if you run for president, get eaten alive, God is still on his throne. And complaining doesn't change a thing. It only embitters your heart. And it causes you, mark it, it causes you, says the Bible, to start having an internal debate inside. And when you start talking to yourself, you start forming opinions about you and about other people. And seeing how you yourself is your only counselor, it never turns out well. And Paul says, this would destroy a church, and it will cause, listen, it'll cause your faith to be quenched. You want to be very careful about that. We must be prepared as people to every day offer ourselves so that we can keep the fire of God, as it were, burning in our lives. We must keep coming to him. In Romans 12:1, you know it well. Romans 12:1 says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you, here it is, present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. That we are to bring, as it were, to the altar, the Old Testament picture of the altar and the burning. The Bible tells us that in the Old Testament, that altar, the light, the flame, was to never go out, ever. And so it is with the Christian walk. We are to go to that flame in fellowship with God. Listen, to be with God is to be near the fire. When Moses met God, where did he meet him? On Mount Sinai, he saw a burning bush. It wasn't that the bush was burning. The fact was that the bush wasn't consumed. It could have been a burning rock. It could have been a burning, you name it. But it wasn't consumed. That was the point. The fire of God had enveloped a bush, but the bush wasn't consumed. What is that a picture of? The Christian life is to be enveloped by the fire of God, the presence of God, the manifest presence of God. When the church was born, the Bible tells us that what looked like tongues of fire sat upon the believers' heads, and they spoke in other languages. The manifest presence of God. The Bible tells us that when Israel was in the wilderness, that the fire of God surrounded them and kept them safe. The fire of God. The Bible says when Jesus Christ returns, his eyes are as a flame of fire. The Bible says that fire, the fires of life, is what God uses to try us and to strengthen us. But when we complain, we say that God doesn't know what he's doing. When we complain, we say that we can do it better. We often complain when we think, I don't deserve this. Please understand this. Life is dark. And it's tough. In fact, we were just praying. The pastors were together praying this morning. And in that time of prayer, you know, you listen to this. It's so true. You and I may have one or two or three or five things happen to us in a day that's negative. That's like, this was not good. You know what I'm talking about? Whatever it is in your life, it's like, this was not good. And you can count them. Oh, you know, this happened to me today. I got a flat tire. My dog bit me. I got fired. Okay, you have these things. But have you ever stopped? And I got to tell you, I don't often do this. I need to. You may have had three bad things happen to you in the day, but have you ever thought of how many incredible, innumerable amounts of graces happened to you that day? Did you see what I just did by the grace of God? I took a walk. You say, well, that's ridiculous. You know what? It's not ridiculous if you can't walk. It's not ridiculous, you know what, if you're hurting. Isn't God's grace good?
Pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio, in a message called Faith on Fire. Thank you for listening. Our hope is that God ignites you in a burning desire to bring the good news to all you meet that Jesus Christ is Lord. We'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio.
Hey everybody, we are really excited about the book Temptation. Frankly, we're quite impressed with how well it's done. And so we want to make sure that you also have heard that this little book called Temptation is part of our Pocket Power series. And it gives you everything you need to know about how do I deal with temptation in my life? How do I defeat these things that seem to get a hold of me? So I hope you get your own copy. And I hope that you're blessed by it.
The book Temptation is yours for a gift of any amount. It's available right now at our website, jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in his word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.